The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, good afternoon or good evening to most of you guys that are jumping on here tonight, or at least on this live broadcast. We welcome all of those who would watch the rebroadcast of this when it does air, or when you get a chance to come back and watch this on by YouTube or listen to this on podcast. We will officially welcome you in just a second. We want to share this to a couple locations to get you guys on here, because I want to show you some stuff that today I had something lined up, but then when I was reading the word of the Lord into my devotional time, this really leaped off the pages, and I really want to share something with you that I believe the Holy Spirit pressed on me to share a little bit about. And this is in Mark chapter 3. I want to talk about trademarks of a Pharisee, and they're found right here in Mark chapter 3. And I want to emphasize by saying something right off the bat. Before we do that, we want to welcome all of our broadcast people that are coming on. Everybody's joining us today by Facebook, by YouTube, or if you're listening by podcast, we welcome you to the broadcast. If you're new to the program, please let us know below under the Facebook Live comments. If you're there, if you're YouTube, let us know there. If you're listening by podcast, you're always welcome to contact us either via by our Facebook page or our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, and give us some feedback on how you enjoy these podcasts. So without further ado, guys, let's get started in this. Again, Mark chapter 3. Again, we're going to be talking about trademarks of a Pharisee. And I want to say this right off the bat. Pharisees are alive and well today. Pharisees, Sadducees, and teachers of the law, they did. Unfortunately, the ones that you read about in the New Testament of your word, those individuals specifically may be dead, but the same spirit, if you would, and I don't mean their spirit, I'm talking about their characteristics or attributes, that is carried over and is still alive and well in the church today. So Pharisees, Sadducees, and teachers of the law are still alive and well in the church today, and they still have the same qualities, the same attributes, and the same characteristics. And you're going to see a little bit of this come out in Mark chapter 3. So let's get into this. Here in Mark chapter 3, it says that Jesus entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So let's make this practical. Jesus steps in the church. Back then, it was a synagogue. Today, they still have synagogues today, but we're just going to make this practical, okay? He steps in the church. I want to get you. You got to get this picture in your head because it really brings out this message. Here, Jesus steps into the church. There's a man there with a withered hand. He has an infirmity. His hand is withered that he cannot stretch it out, and apparently, it's been that way for a long time. And the Bible says, "So they watched him closely." Who is they in this context? They are the Pharisees. They are the religious leaders of that church. Now watch this. It says they watched him closely whether or not he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. Now right off the bat, I want to emphasize here. Here's one of the characteristics of a Pharisee, and perhaps you have them in your church and you'll know them by this characteristic. They are not interested in whether or not an individual can be healed, whether an individual can be delivered, or whether they can be set free. Because if it violates their tradition, their man-made standards, or their protocol, then immediately they will call it not of God. So in this context, it was a Sabbath day, and they were gathered together in the temple or in the synagogue, and there was a man there. What better day to be healed of an infirmity but on the Sabbath? Come on, somebody, to be in the house of God and to get healed by the power of God. But no, they, by their traditions, this man should have shut up He should have kept his mouth shut, sat down, and not disturbed the service as to question why are they even there anyway. If this man is disrupting what they're doing, I don't really care. You know, what are they doing that's so important that a man cannot be healed or delivered or set free from an infirmity? That's the question I have to ask. Listen, I love preaching and I love teaching the word of God, but I'm going to tell you something. If the power of God's moving and people are getting healed and people are getting set free and people are getting delivered, I know when to shut my Bible and shut my mouth and sit down until God's done moving. And if he wants me to teach and he wants me to preach, then he'll have me do it. But until he's done, come on, because I show up for him to work anyway. It's not about me and it's not about my program. It's not about my agenda. It's about him. It's about seeing God glorified. But notice they were watching closely, not so that they could celebrate with this man who would be delivered, not that they would rejoice for this man who would be set free from this withered hand, but they were watching him intently so that they could catch him in something that they could accuse him. Oh, you listen to me. Religious Pharisees are not interested in healing in the church today. They're not interested in miracles today. They're not interested in the supernatural in the church today. In fact, most of them despise healing, they despise miracles, and they despise supernatural. So if God happens to show up in the service, they will quickly write it off as the work of Satan or emotionalism, or it's fake. So they are looking with intent to find someone that is operating in what God told us that we could operate in so that they could falsely accuse us and cast us out of their church. Oh, I'm going to preach it anyway today. And I'm going to tell you something. What I hope this does is I hope it magnifies the spirit and the intent of these Pharisees that are alive and well today, because they're out there. All right. So, and he said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward. And then he said to them, he tells the man, step forward. Then he looks at them, and I've already told you who them is. And he says to them, quote, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill it? But they kept their mouth shut. Of course they did. And when he had looked around at them with anger, you didn't hear me. I said he looked around at them with anger. This angered Jesus. Look, when you read the word of God, Jesus was never angry with sinners. He was never angry with drunkards. He was never angry with prostitutes. He was never angry with tax collectors. You know who he was angry with all the time? Was the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, and the religious of his day. Why? Because they rejected the Messiah. They rejected his word. They rejected his message. And they rejected the power of God. And friends, they still do it today. They still do it today. Now listen. He looked around with them with anger. And listen what it says in verse 5 of Mark 3. And being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. I love that he was not intimidated by these Pharisees. He didn't leave. He didn't leave the man with the withered hand there with his withered hand. He said, no, we're gonna do it anyway. We're gonna do what I came to do, and that sets you free. And he said, stretch out your hand. And the man stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. So he's completely made whole. Now, did revival break out? No. Did people crowd around him to celebrate with him? No. Did people grab a microphone and want to hear his testimony so that he can encourage others? No. Listen what it says. And then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him. Did you hear that? So I want to talk to somebody today. Whether you are somebody that maybe you don't have a pulpit. Maybe you're not an evangelist that is known. Maybe you're not a pastor that's known. Maybe you're not a prophet that's known. Maybe you're not a pastor that's known. Maybe you're a pastor of a church with 30. Maybe you're a pastor of a church with 300 or 3,000. Or maybe you're a minister that ministers behind a desk in an office, or maybe in a warehouse, or maybe in an office building, or in a factory somewhere. And maybe your ministry is not a pulpit, not a microphone, not a YouTube channel. Maybe your ministry is not behind, it's not in a church. This goes out to everybody I'm talking to. Listen, if you start believing this word, if you start moving in this word, if you start doing what Jesus told you to do, and you start seeing signs, wonders, and miracles begin to operate in your ministry, wherever that is, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in the church, wherever it's at, when you start seeing the manifest presence of God and the power of God and signs and wonders and miracles start breaking forth in your ministry, Listen, the sinners, most of the time, the sinners out there, the people who don't know God, the drunkards, the drug addicts, the prostitutes, the hurting, the depressed, the oppressed, those that are in poverty, those who don't have any religious background, they will embrace the supernatural of God. They'll be healed by the power of God. They'll get delivered of these bondages. They will, most of them will gladly accept the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you, where you get your opposition from is not from them, but it's from the Pharisees inside the church. And they will plot to have you shut down. They'll go as far as make up lies. They'll embellish things. They'll stretch the truth. They'll do everything they can to get you shut down. All right. Now I'm going to read the rest of this. But Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him. I love this. I love the fact that no matter how many religious people came against him, he still had a great following, because there were still people that understood and they saw that the power of God was with him. Oh, come on. I got to tell somebody today, you might lose a lot of them. And listen, I've said this before, I'd rather lose 500 religious Pharisees and gain 12 disciples any day of the week. Because I can turn the world upside down with 12, but than rather be in a dead man's sepulcher full of dead man's bones somewhere with a bunch of religious people that don't want to move of God, and they despise the move of God, and they call the working of God the working of Satan. Listen, so Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and beyond the Jordan, and those from Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude. Listen to this. When they heard how many things he was doing, they came to him. Now notice who the multitudes are that was coming to him. It was the common people. It was the sinners, the demon-possessed, the hurting, the oppressed. You got to get this in your spirit today. So he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. Could you imagine him having crowds so big that there's a fear of you being crushed and trampled to death? But listen what it says. Verse 10. For he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed about to touch him. And the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, saying, "You are the Son of God." But he sternly warned them that they should not make him known. Golly, get this in your spirit, guys. Here is multitudes that are pressing to him. He's healing the sick. He's casting out devils. He's doing mighty works. And even demons are crying out of these people, calling him the Son of God, and saying, "Don't cast us into the pit. Don't torment us before our time." Demons are screeching and screaming out and revealing that this man is the Son of God. Listen, verse 13. And he went up on a mountain and called to him those who he himself wanted. And they came to him and he appointed 12. Now here he goes. He appoints 12. Listen to this. That they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out demons. And then he lists who these are. Peter, James, John, the sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon, the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot. Yes, even Judas was given power to cast out devils, raise the dead, and heal the sick. All right, verse 20. And then the multitude came together again so that they couldn't even eat bread. But when his own people heard about this, oh, listen to this, guys. Watch this. But I got to emphasize, this is Mark 3:21. But when his own people, somebody say his own people, his own hometown. What did Jesus say? A prophet is without honor and where? His own hometown. He said, but when his own people heard about this, heard about what? They heard about him being used. They heard about him raising the dead. They heard about him casting out devils. They heard about him healing the sick. They heard about him, come on, making a withered hand straight. They heard about him raising up a young man that was in a coffin that was dead passing through town. They heard about him turning the water into wine. They heard about him going and raising up Peter's wife that was sick with a fever that she may serve them. They heard about the centurion's son. They heard about all these miracles. So they were waiting for him to come so that they could gladly welcome him in so that they could have a 2-week revival? No. They were going to celebrate with him? No. They were going to cheer him on? No. They were going to encourage him? No. They wanted to hear the great works that had been done? No. It says, when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said that he is out of his mind. I come by to tell somebody tonight, listen, if you're really going to serve God and you're really going to do something for God, you're going to have to lay aside some doctrines of men. You're going to have to lay aside the traditions of men. You're going to have to lay aside the programs of men. You're going to have to lay aside all these things that are constantly weighing you down. The naysayers, the doubters, the unbelievers. Come on, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law, they're always encircling you like wolves and always telling you you're going to go to hell and calling you a false prophet and calling you demon-possessed because you believe what the word of the Lord says and you believe that Jesus said, behold, the works that I do, you shall do, and even greater works shall you do because I go unto my Father. Here's not only, and listen, I love this. Jesus didn't just minister himself. He didn't keep the anointing to himself. He didn't keep the power to himself. He didn't keep the miracles to himself. He began to distribute to those in his, come on, that he was appointed to do. He called his 12, and the Bible says he appointed them. He commissioned them. He commanded them, and he sent them out to do the same works that he was doing. And when word got back to his own people, I come by to tell you today, don't expect your own people to celebrate you. Oh, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about if you expect people in your own church to celebrate you, listen, don't be alarmed when they don't welcome it, when they don't embrace your ministry. Your own family don't embrace your ministry. Your own, come on, those in your own household will quickly and can quickly become your own enemies. Notice it wasn't those on the outside that was attacking him. It was those on the inside. See, as long as you're a carpenter, as long as you're the son of Joseph and the son of Mary, as long as you're the Nazarene, then everything is okay with you. Everything is all right with you. Everybody's going to be fine with you. You're not shaking the boat. You're not stirring the pot. You're not flipping the tables. You're not rebuking the teachers of the law. As long as you can Remain what we try to make you be and keep you in the box that we expect you to be. Everything will be fine with you. But the moment, oh, come on, somebody, the moment you break out of the box of their expectations, the moment that you begin to defy their traditions, the moment that you begin to defy the understanding of what they perceive to God to be. Because see, these people put God in their little box and they say, this is how God is. This is how God operates. And he does not move beyond the perimeters of our comprehension, our understanding, and our traditions. Come on, I'm preaching today. And because Jesus broke out of the box, and people begin to get delivered. People begin to get healed. People begin to get set free. And it begin to flip the tables of religion. Flip the tables of traditions of men. Because of this, word got back around. And they said, this guy has lost his mind. This guy has lost his mind. Listen to this, verse 22. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem, now listen to their accusation against Jesus. They said in verse 22 of Mark 3, he has Beelzebub. This is the prince or the ruler of demons. They said Jesus has the ruler of demons. He's operating from the prince of demons, Beelzebub. Could you imagine? Here's Jesus doing these mighty works. And here's the religious people of their day. You got to clean out your ears because I'm getting ready to get into something that is going to make this real relevant. And I saw this play out in real time over the last week or so. And it's absolutely disgusting. And I saw this very thing get played out today. All right. So listen to this. Here he is doing the work of God. Miracles, signs, wonders, and miracles. And here's a man who's supposed to be he is a scribe. And not only, now you can go to other accounts of the gospel, whether it be, I think it's in Matthew and Luke, and it's other angles of this. And they say not only did the scribes get in on this, but the Pharisees also joined in with them. These are supposed to be the religious teachers of the law. And they called Jesus, the Son of God, a prince of demons. Now listen what Jesus and how he responded to this. Ready? Verse 23. Here's how he responded to them. So he called them to himself and he said to them in parables. Now who's he talking to? He's calling the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. He calls them to himself and he says this. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, if that kingdom cannot stand, and if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Now, if they didn't get all that, listen to the bomb he drops on them. And keep in mind the context in which Jesus speaks this. You got to keep that in mind. In fact, why don't you say that with me? Say, keep it in context. All this is in context. Then Jesus says this. Listen to this. Verse 28. Assuredly I say to you, all sins, plural, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men. That's us, the son and daughters of men. All sins will be forgiven. Somebody say, all my sins can be forgiven. And whatever blasphemies that may utter, say, God even forgives my blasphemies. But, somebody say, but, he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness. Somebody say that. Somebody say, but he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness. Listen to this, but is subject to eternal condemnation. Let me make this real practical for you. You are subject to eternal damnation. The blaspheme of the Holy Spirit is the unpardonable sin. You can do everything else and God will forgive you. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, there is no room. You will not be forgiven, and you just sealed your fate and you will forever be lost. And he said this in direct correlation with the, listen, clean out your ears, with the religious leaders of that day calling the works that Jesus did the works of Satan. And Jesus said, you just blaspheme the Holy Spirit and you have no place for forgiveness and you just damned your soul to hell. Well, I don't believe that. Okay, well, let's read on in case you... I had someone say, well, that's not the unforgivable sin. The blaspheme of the Holy Spirit and speak and calling the working of Satan, or the working of God, the working of Satan is not the blaspheme of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let me refute that. Number one, this is in the context in which Jesus said it. Number two, you know who was working through Jesus to perform these miracles? The Holy Spirit. Because I can show you in the scripture where when he was baptized by John in the Jordan River, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon him and descended upon him likened unto a dove. And the Bible says, and immediately the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. And then he came and entered into Galilee by the power of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit was in and operating through the ministry and through the life of Jesus. It was the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Bible says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and me and quickens our mortal bodies. It's not you that's casting out devils. It's not you raising the dead. It's not you healing the sick. It's the Holy Spirit working through you. And number three is in Mark chapter 3, verse 30. Let me back up here because I want to make sure you get this because I'm getting ready to touch on something here. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation. Verse 30, because they said he has an unclean spirit. Now I'm going to let that soak in for a second. Why did Jesus talk about blaspheming the Holy Spirit? He tells you in plain scripture right here, and it's in red, because they said, the religious leaders of his day claimed that he had an unclean spirit and was performing miracles through the working of Satan. Now, here's what I'm going to talk about. This past week, I was, and I'm just going to say it. I don't really care because I've never been about a, if you don't like the man and you want to unfollow my ministry, I don't really give a rip, never have. Because I'm going to preach, I'm going to keep, listen, tomorrow morning I'm going to get up and I'm going to still keep preaching the gospel. And we're still going to keep posting stuff on social media and we're still going to keep doing what God's called us to do, whether with or without you. Don't really matter. But one of my spiritual fathers and mentors that I've had for 19 years, out of Cleveland, Tennessee, Perry Stone, of Omega Center International and Voice of Evangelism. By the way, this man, whom many don't like because for this very reason, because he's filled with the Holy Spirit, operates in many of the gifts of the Spirit. I've been in his services with him, seen the operation of this. I personally know the man. This is not hearsay. I personally know the man. Many of you guys know this. We were in Cleveland, Tennessee for 3 years. I was there at Omega Center International. I got to personally know him, even outside of ministry. Okay. So, but on Tuesday nights, they have services, on Tuesday nights at OCI. And then they have their camp meetings, which they just finished up recently in October. Then they have the Warrior Fest that they have. They have Reformation. They have these conferences that touch young people's. They're a voice to the next generation. They're raising up the next generation, passing the baton down, raising up father in the next generation. I love what they're doing down there. And on Thursday nights, they have what is called prayer and intercession. They pray over people's needs. People call in, they get on YouTube, they YouTube live it and they Facebook live it. And this is not a service, it's a prayer service. There's a difference. There's a complete difference in a prayer service and a regular service. There's things that you will hear, see, and do in a prayer service that you're not going to see in a regular service. Keep that in mind. Number two, it's live stream. So people call in and they're asking for prayer requests. And they get everything from they need a new job, they lost their job, they have cancer, they have a sickness, they have an infirmity, their marriage is falling apart. In fact, many years ago, probably about, I don't know, I want to say 5 years ago when I was there at OCI, we used to pray out of their prayer barn. And many times Perry had me leading the services, or not leading the services, but praying over people on the camera. When people was calling in, the camera was on my face and I was reading these prayer requests coming in and I was praying for them on the camera. It was a great honor to do that. And I would pray, and many times I would pray and I would intercede for them. Now, I myself am spirit filled. I speak in a heavenly language that God gave me when I was baptized in the Holy Ghost about 18 years ago. And I am not ashamed of that. So many times when I pray, I said when I pray, not when I preach, there's a difference. If I preach and I speak in an unknown tongue, I must give an interpretation. Thus, what I'm preaching to you is foreign to you and it's not edifying to you. But if I'm praying for you, I am praying for you through the Holy Spirit. And if I'm speaking in an unknown tongue, I'm praying to the Father. Now, if the Lord gives me an interpretation for that, then so be it. But if he don't, it does not need no interpretation because I'm praying to God, not you. And it's prayer. And I just want to let somebody know, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you ever want to pray for Brother Ricky, I will not be offended by any means. Please. In fact, I encourage you to pray for me in the Spirit. Because in Romans chapter 8, let me just read here. I'm going somewhere with this, so just hold on for a second. Listen, if you don't want to hear it, turn the channel. But I'm trying to help somebody today. Romans chapter 8, listen to this. This is why I love praying in the Spirit. Romans 8, listen to this. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses or in our infirmities. That's the infirmities is weaknesses there in Greek. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself, who? The Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings. Somebody say groanings, which cannot be uttered. And now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when the Holy Spirit is praying through you and out of you, you're praying the perfect will of God. So that's why I encourage you. Please, by all means, pray for Brother Ricky in the Spirit. If the Spirit of God touches you and prompts you to pray in the Spirit for me, please, by all means, do this. So anyway, let me get back to this. On Thursday night, a couple weeks ago, they were praying for requests. Perry had the microphone. They were praying. So one of his, and I'm not going to name names here, but I could. I know exactly who called him or to text him on the phone. So I don't have my phone because I'm using it here to do this Facebook Live. So he's got his phone here and the camera's on him. And this, a very good friend of his who's a minister that Perry ministers at many times throughout the year or a couple times a year, but they've known each other for years. But this pastor friend of his wife was diagnosed with cancer. So this man texts Perry, and you say, well, why did he answer it? Because people text him personally while they're praying, he wasn't preaching behind the pulpit. He was praying, and the text came over. So he'll read the text so he can pray for them. Novel idea, isn't it? I had some dummy say, well, if he was a real man of God, he wouldn't be on his phone while he was praying. Really? So listen, wouldn't you be happy if you had a family member and you had a dire, it happened yesterday. We were going out for a walk around the block in my neighborhood, and my brother-in-law texted me and asked for me to pray for him because he was having a hard time and there was a lot of mental attacks against him. So you know what we did? We prayed for him right there. Now, again, somebody said we live in 2019. It's okay to use technology for the glory of God. Okay? So anyway, this minister, pastor friend of his, text him and say, could you please pray for my wife? She's been diagnosed with cancer. Could you get the saints to agree in prayer and pray for her? And he said, yeah. And this is all live on YouTube. I watched it. I was watching it live because I was agreeing with them live. And you know, it's really sad. So I'm getting ahead of myself. So he starts praying in the spirit. Somebody say he was praying in the spirit. So he starts praying in the spirit for this individual, praying in the Holy Ghost and texting back. I don't know what he was texting. Probably we're agreeing right now in prayer. We're agreeing with you. We're praying. So all this was caught on camera. And of course, oh my goodness, somebody, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, they saw this and they immediately took to YouTube. They immediately took to one guy who claims to have a quote unquote ministry, took to his blog and trashed and bashed Perry, blasphemed the Holy Spirit, called it the work of Satan. Are you hearing me? Called it babblings and the working of Satan, false tongues, and I mean, just all kinds of derogatory, disgusting things that were said about the Holy Spirit and Perry. What this man don't realize is he blasphemed the Holy Ghost. My soul grieves for this man. And then it caught on like wildfire. And then a well-known comedian took a clip, didn't even know anything about it, just snatched a clip out with not knowing the beginning, the middle, or the end, not knowing anything in context, just took it and just had a great laugh with it and broadcasted it out on Facebook and everything else. And all these people, even quote-unquote Christians, are all trashing Perry and blaspheming the Holy Ghost and making fun of the Holy Spirit and making fun of a situation of an individual praying and asking for people to intercede for a woman who was dying of cancer, and they was praying for her live on YouTube while he was holding the phone. And they got a good laugh out of it, trashed him, mocked the Holy Spirit, and blasphemed the Holy Ghost. And then it went as far as late night talk show. A late night talk show host even had a video clip of it on there. So you know what I said? I said, Perry, get ready, because a huge breakthrough's coming your way. You're about ready to see a breakthrough like OCI has never seen before, like VOE has never seen before. You're about to see breakthrough. You're about to see promotion. You're about to see, come on, the windows of heaven are getting ready to roll out. Because if you have that kind of an attack and you have that kind of adversity to come against you for doing that, then friends, watch out, because God himself will stand up and defend you and fight for you. But I say all that to say this, guys. Let me get back to the whole point of this. Mark chapter 3, trademarks of the Pharisee. Don't miss what I'm trying to tell you today. Listen, if you're running with a group of people that they talk like this about quote unquote Pentecostals or charismatics, they always want to put you in a group and put you in a category and they want to label you. If you're running around or you're hanging around with people that call the moving of the Spirit and the working of the Spirit, if they call it the working of Satan and the working of the devil, or babblings, or all these other derogatory terms. Friends, I'm going to give you some advice. You better run from them people. You better get away from them people, because you are literally playing with fire. I was grieved. I told my wife and I told many ministry friends of mine, I said, I feel sorry for these people, because there's going to be people end up in hell because of what they just said about this, and calling the working of God the working of Satan. Friends, we can't just run our mouth. If we think we can just get out there and build, and this is what irks me. You got people on YouTube, people on Facebook, people in blogs. They've created their own ministries, and their entire ministry is built on tearing everybody else down and calling everybody else devils, calling everybody else false prophets, calling everybody else false apostles, ripping, tearing, accusing, and blaspheming the Holy Spirit and all these other things, all in the name of working for God. No, they're working for Satan. Even, listen, I can show you in the Bible where the disciples came back to Jesus and they said, listen, there's some guys across the town and they were casting devils out in your name. What should we do? You know what Jesus said? He said, leave them alone. He who is with me is for me, but he who is against me is not with me. Come on, leave them alone. And the same is going for people that are coming forth with testimonies of having an encounter with God, having a salvation encounter, having experienced revival or whatever. And these Pharisees, instead of listening to their heart, getting to know them, getting to know the whole situation, they are quick to respond with calling it the working of Satan. Friends, I'm telling you, you are treading on dangerous ground. And I know this is going to go over like a lead balloon to a lot of people. And I will let you guess which camp won't receive this. But anyway, this is End Time Headlines, guys. EndTimeHeadlines.org, EndTimeHeadlines.com. I know this is a little different. You guys on podcast might be a little shell-shocked today. I know, and listen, I know we love encouragement and we love edification, but there's going to be times we got to stand up and we got to bring correction to the body. We got to bring rebuke to the body. And that's what we brought today. Because listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you're watching this and you're a part of our ETH community church online, our online community church, and you are in the camp of those who call the working of the Spirit the working of Satan, and you call this babbling and demonic, friends, then I'm going to ask you politely, just leave. We don't want you in the group. We don't want you in our church. We don't want you there. Go somewhere else and blaspheme the Holy Ghost, but not here. We don't do that. We don't allow that to go on in our group. I don't even like that going. And listen, we have, you know, our ministry is End Time Headlines, which is our information arm. And then we have Remnant Revival Ministries, which is our revelatory arm. Now you can, on ETH, we're a little bit more lenient over there on Facebook. And you can say some stuff and get away with some stuff over there. But you ain't going to get away with that in the ETH community group. And you're not going to get away with that in our Remnant Revival page. If I see you doing that on the Remnant Revival page, you're gone. We won't put up with that over there. But the reason why we allow us a lot more to get away, a lot leniency on ETH group page, is because that is where our biggest net is. We're casting our net out, guys, and we're pulling in as many fish as we can, and we're hoping to disciple them. Now, if you're causing problem and disruption and division and discord and hurting people, then yeah, we're going to take care of that. But y'all understand what I'm saying. So anyway, again, this has been End Time Headlines with this special message today. We're going to be back on here on Thursday. I'm going to come back on Thursday. I've got a message that I want to speak to you about out of Matthew 25. And I'm going to show you some stuff out of Matthew 25. So I don't want you to miss that. We're going to come back here on Thursday. We're going to talk about Matthew 25. This Sunday morning, we're going to be back in Cordon, Indiana. We had a wonderful weekend in Louisville, Kentucky this weekend. We ministered on Thursday night and on Sunday morning there at Pastor Travis Billings Church there in Churchman's Chapel in Louisville, Kentucky. But we're coming back to Cordon, Indiana at God's House. with Pastor Tim there at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time this Sunday morning, and we're going to be ministering there. Hopefully, we'll see several of you there in person. We always look forward to ministering there in Cordon, Indiana. So again, we're going to sign off for today. Again, if you'd like to support this ministry, you'd like to partner with this ministry, you'd like to know more about our ministry, you can. You're going to find the link there on Facebook Live. Just click on the link right there, and it's going to lead you to a page where you can donate, you can support, you can partner with us, you can subscribe to notifications, email digest. Again, you're going to see Remnant Revival Ministries there at the top of the website. You can click on that and follow us there as well at remnantrevival.org. So we love you guys. God bless you, and we'll see you again on Thursday.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.